Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here today. And I pray for a special anointing this morning, Lord. That Your Word would speak. It wouldn't be me speaking, Father, but it would be Your Word speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, open up our eyes. I believe there needs to be transformation taking place in so many of us this morning. May by the power of Your Holy Spirit there be conviction, repentance, and renewal. May Thy will be done now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message today is The Ordinary Doing the Extraordinary. And I had a couple different messages on my heart, and I was going back and forth, and so I just said, okay, Lord, and I just sat down, and I began with the first verse that I felt like He gave me, and then just went to wherever I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading. And the first verse I want to begin with is Acts 4:13, and this verse we ended last week with, and it was when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of y'all remember ending last week with that, but I just kept thinking about that they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they went on to do extraordinary things. Why? Because they've been with Jesus. And how many of us can tell that we've been with Jesus on a normal, everyday basis? Can we tell that I've been with Jesus, I've been walking with Jesus, I've been talking with Jesus, and that we allow the ordinary to become the extraordinary in our everyday lives? It's one of the ways that I really gauge myself and how my walk is with God is by the words coming out of my mouth or the lack thereof. Because sometimes the Lord has spoke to me about just being quiet. Quit talking so much. And so one of the ways that I gauge my walk is what's coming out at work especially. I mean, that's the grounds that you know, it's a little bit easier to be Christ-like, so to speak, in church, you know, and even in front of your children. But you get around coworkers and stuff, are you feeding off of what they're doing? Are you saying what they're saying? Are you doing what they're doing? Are you feeding into that? You can even get that in the political landscape now, and what it can breed in you, or sports and different things, and what comes out of you. And so one of the ways that I gauge myself, and I've talked to you about this before, and I think all of us should gauge ourselves, is the words that come out of us. In Matthew 12:33, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. We've talked about this many times over the years. But you know, sometimes when we're talking about it, when you're hearing these scriptures, you're thinking about someone else. I know so-and-so. Man, they say they're a Christian, but I've heard what they say. I see the way they act at the ball games, and you're thinking about someone else. Well, I want you to think about you for just a minute with this, okay? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Is it good fruit? Verse 34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. It's what's inside of here that's coming out. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Y'all, when I see what's going on our world, in our society, in our nation, and I think there's coming a day when people's going to have to give an account. There's coming a day when they're going to have to give an account for the lives that they lived, for the way that they acted, the things that they stood for, in their politics, in their churches, at home. There's coming a day they're going to have to give an account, and there's coming a day that we're going to be given an account for every careless word that we have spoken. Verse 37 says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And that really got me thinking about the words that I've been speaking and how can we do the extraordinary when we don't believe it and we don't speak it. We don't really believe that we're capable of doing extraordinary things through Jesus Christ and we don't speak it. We're by your words you will be acquitted and for by your words you will be condemned. And I think about the way that I speak and I think about the way that I hear people around me speak. And they're not speaking life. They're not speaking what the Lord thinks of them, what the Lord wants them to do. Many times, if there's a lot of words going around, what is it? It's griping, it's complaining, it's murmuring. It's being upset over something. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who live by it will eat of its fruits." So death and life are in the power of your tongue. And where this kind of all came from for me is 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago in a men's meeting, the Lord really convicted me of something that I said. I mean, He got all over me. And we were talking about how God gets blamed for stuff. And I said, you know, if you've smoked your whole life and then you get cancer and then you say, "Why, God, why?" Well, it's not God's fault that you got cancer. It's because you smoked your whole life. And then I was talking about me and I said, you know, if the way that I eat, if I have a heart attack one of these days, I can't blame God and go, "Why, God, why?" It's some greasy cheeseburgers that I eat for lunch and all the junk that I eat. And as soon as those words come out of my mouth, the Lord convicted me and He says, "Why are you speaking that over yourself?" And I thought, you know, I do say a lot of bad stuff about myself. What I think will happen, what, you know, this might happen or this might happen. And, you know, I guess I just need to shut up about that because I could give you example after example, but the Lord's saying, stop speaking it, okay, of what I'm saying. But you guys don't look at me that way when, how many of you, well, your grandmother died of cancer or your dad died of cancer, so I'm probably going to die of cancer myself. Or heart disease, it just runs in my family, so I know I'm going to end up with a bad heart or whatever. We say these things, and I wonder how many of us are speaking that over our life, and we don't even realize there's power in our words, there's power in what we're saying. And many of us, I think we don't even realize all that goes with the words that we speak, and that we should be speaking life over ourselves. We should be speaking what the Lord says about us. Romans 4:17, let me find it. "As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." I love that verse right there, but I want to be real careful with that verse. "But calls things that are not as though they were." How many of us are living our lives saying, we're calling things that are not as though they were in a bad sense? My job's terrible. I hate my boss. Things are never going to get better. Or, you know, they hadn't gave me a raise in 5 years and they're never going to give me a raise. And we're calling things that are not as though they were. But then look at the other side of that. "God, you have blessed me so much. I'm so thankful for you and all that you're doing in my life. And I'm thankful for this job because I can pay my bills. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this food or whatever." I'm not trying to get on a name it, claim it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that many of us are speaking death over our life instead of life. Our complaining, our murmuring, our griping. And that's not what God's called us to do. And I want to read a couple more verses here. Verse 18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. His body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Y'all hear that? He's as good as dead. His wife's womb's dead. But he didn't waver in what God had told him. He didn't waver in what the Lord had spoke to him. And I'm wondering how many of us have wavered in what God has spoke to us. We're always speaking death over us instead of life. And we don't really believe all that God can do. And here Abraham, by natural means, by what the world says, this can't happen. This can't even happen, but he didn't waver. He believed God. Now I want to go back to Ezekiel 37. And, you know, I don't remember if I've ever preached on Ezekiel 37. We've sang songs about it. Maybe I have years and years ago, but I don't really remember. But I was just thinking about the way that we speak and the way that things are. And I thought of the Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37, and we're going to go 1 through 14 here. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about, could this be our nation today? A valley of dry bones. Have we lost our spiritual fervor? Have we lost our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it everywhere we look, things are falling apart and there's death and destruction? I said, O Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make your flesh come up upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And when I was reading this and I thought about, He says to prophesy over that, and I looked up in Strong's and the definition to prophesy in H 5012, and it says that is to speak or sing by inspiration. So he says, speak over these dry bones or sing over these dry bones. You know, the words that we say have so much power. So the Lord's saying, speak over these bones and tell them to come back to life. How many of us are speaking over our lives? Speaking over our family? Speaking over our lost coworkers? I've told y'all this story before, but when I worked at UPS is where I was at when I got saved. And We started a Bible study on our break time. We had like a 10-minute break. And the craziest guy there, he was always talking about partying and drinking and all these things. The last person I'd have ever expected to get saved, after a few months, come in one Monday and he says, you know what I did yesterday? I said, what? He said, I went to church and I went to the altar and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Y'all, he was the last person I would have ever expected to come to me and say that. We don't know what God's capable of. And how many of us are discounting what God's capable of because we're speaking death. We're not speaking life. We're not listening to what he's saying. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. See, I think that's key right there. I've got that underlined in my Bible. As I was commanded. We can't just go out and do and speak and say all this and go, okay, God, take care of it. No, we're listening to the Holy Spirit and then we're reacting to what the Holy Spirit says. And we're going to get to more of that in just a minute. And he says, as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Speaking life over our children. Speaking life over our family. Speaking life over our church. You know what happens, I think, a lot of times in churches? It's just the same old humdrum, same old thing. It don't really matter if I show up or not. It's just going to be the same thing. Mitzi's going to sing a couple songs. Pete's going to say a sermon. He's going to have us out on time for lunch. And it's just the same old thing. If I miss, it's no big deal. If I'm not there, it's no big deal. What are we doing? We're not speaking life. We're not speaking breath. It should be, man, I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to see what's going to happen during worship. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to speak to me this morning. How many of you do that? Don't raise your hands. Difference in attitudes. It's difference in what you're expecting. What are you going to get if you don't expect to get anything? If it's just going to be another old service, it's just going to be another old thing. How many of us are that way in our marriages? With our kids? With our family? We don't expect anything, so we're not going to get anything. We don't speak life, so we're not going to receive life. It says, as he was commanded, he spoke breath over them. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Speaking life, giving glory to God and allowing Him to begin to work in our lives. There's a song that became real popular, and it was on so much that I got tired of hearing it on the Christian stations, but it's you say I am strong when I say I am weak. You guys know what song I'm talking about. I can't even remember the other lines right now. But, you know, I was thinking about that song, and, you know, you say I am strong when I say I am weak. And I just got to thinking about that for this message, and I thought, how many times are we saying I'm weak, I can't, I'm nothing, and God's got something else to say about us, okay? And so that's where I want to go now is how many of us are allowing what God's Word, see, that's the command today. It's God's Word to speak over our life. Is this making sense? I'm not hearing God audibly. I hear Him in my spirit, and I hear Him through the Word. Maybe some of y'all have heard God audibly, and there's been times that it's like almost, but, you know, I'm not getting a word from God the way it was then. But I do have a word from God, and it's this. This is the word from God for you and for me. And so, you say I am strong when I say I am weak. What's the next line of that? I don't know. I lost it. I can't even remember. I quit listening to the song. I'm sorry for all you in TV land. I quit listening to that song. but how many times are we speaking over our lives the opposite of what the Word of God says? That's where I'm trying to get, okay? And the command that God says. Psalms 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Y'all, for the last probably 10 years, I've really been trying to do that, and I failed time and time again. And what comes out of my mouth is really not what should be coming out of my mouth. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And when I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about a guard over my mouth, and so I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm not just blurting out everything, but then having a conversation being full of grace, seasoned with salt. When you have salt, what? You're thirsty. People want what you have, and so that I may know how to answer everyone. And so I'm thinking about all these things, and I'm thinking about, okay, so how, what does God say about me? He's saying we should ask for a guard over our mouth. He's saying have your speech seasoned with salt. But what does He really say about me? Okay? And what God says about me and what God says about you, and He says that we're called. Isaiah 43:1, "I have called you by name. You are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine." He says, "I'm chosen." In John 15:16, He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We talked about that recently. So you're called this morning. You're chosen. I think I mentioned that last week. You don't have to be picked last on the basketball court or dodgeball. You're not the last one picked. God chose you this morning. That's what the Word of God says. He says that you're forgiven and purified. Wait a minute, Pete. What? The Bible really says that I'm forgiven and purified? 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you feel condemnation? How many of you feel like, God, you can't forgive me because I've gone too far? You're speaking death instead of life. Speak what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Y'all, we can grab hold of life in this Word and speak that over us. Not what the devil's saying, not speaking death over us anymore, but speaking life. I've confessed my sins, Lord. I've repented. Now I'm trusting that I'm forgiven, and now I'm trusting that I can be purified from all unrighteousness, that I don't have to live in that filth and that garbage anymore. We're no longer in darkness, the Bible says. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden." Y'all, are we grabbing hold of what all the Word of God says about you and me? Not a name it, claim it kind of thing here, but what the Word truly says about you and me. Jeremiah 1:5 says we have a purpose. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet of the nations." I wanted to say this so much because, y'all, that's just not for the elitist, so to speak. That's for you and me, that before He formed us in our mother's womb, He knew us. And He had a plan and a purpose. You know, sometimes you ever get frustrated with people, frustrated with family, maybe frustrated with your kids, and you want to change them and you want to transform them. But you know, sometimes we're trying to change exactly what God made them to be. You know, there's discipline and correction. I'm not saying that. But we want everybody to be like us. We want people to think the way we think and do the things that we do and have the mindset that we have. But before God formed those people, before God formed you in the womb, He says, "I knew you. I knew you." He has a plan. He has a purpose. There's life for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I always want to read that next verse because most people just read the, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But I think that that next verse, you can't leave it out. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are we saying, God, I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose. God, I know that you have something more for my life. We watched a thing last week that talked about, it was a documentary about social media and everything. I talked about it to some of y'all after church. I don't think I mentioned it from the pulpit. But it was showing since 2009, there's a chart. And in young girls, I think it was like 11 to 14, and then 14 to 18, and the chart just does this. And you know what it's skyrocketing in? Depression, hurting themselves, suicide. You know what changed in 2009? Social media. Everybody had access to it. And it was mainly talking about little girls and the depression and the suicide. It's skyrocketing, y'all. Why? Because they're believing a lie that they're not pretty enough, that they're not good enough, because they don't have enough likes, because they don't have enough friends, because they don't have enough comments. They're believing a lie from the devil instead of hanging on what the Word of God says. And I'm telling you, after watching that, if I had a young daughter, I would not allow her to have any social media at all. I don't endorse secular documentaries, and there was parts of that documentary I didn't like, but I watched it because I wanted to see the impact of what this is having on our society, and it's unreal how they're manipulating us. Even in politics and stuff, they manipulate people. They feed you things. They feed you things to make you more angry or to meet your desire, and y'all, it's destroying our children. It's destroying our young people, and it's even destroying our adults. Everybody's popping pills to get happy, to find peace, to find joy, instead of looking at the Word of God. And God says, I have a hope and a future for you. I knitted you in your mother's womb to be who you are. Y'all, can we begin to speak life over our church once again? Can we begin to speak life over our families once again? Can we begin to speak life once again over our own lives and quit being so negative and quit being so down and saying, I'm just going to be like my grandfather. I'm just going to be like my mom. I'm just going to be, that's just who I am. And let's begin to be like our Heavenly Father and be what He's called us to be and begin to speak life once again. There was 2 years ago that God gave me this verse for this church. And I don't want to read it all, but it's basically Isaiah 43. But Isaiah 43:19 says, well, I'm going to go ahead and read 18 too. 18 and 19. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. You know, some of you this morning, you need to let go. You need to let go of who you were, of the past mistakes, of the past sins. You know how many years Satan has tormented me with my past and all the mistakes that I've made? I guarantee you, if you guys knew all the things that I'd done, you wouldn't be listening to me this morning up here preaching. And Satan used that against me so many times, and I was so tormented. But I need to forget that. But then verse 19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Some of you, the inside of you might feel like a desert right now. Maybe you've walked with God for 40 years. Maybe you've walked with God for 4 months. But you just feel empty and dry inside. Begin to speak life into your life once again. Begin to speak into your life what the Word of God says. Not what the media says. Not what the... Don't even... How can I say this the right way? Many of y'all have heard my marriage series. I do like a four-part series on marriage. And one of the examples in there was a man that had watched his mother run down his father for years and years and years, calling him a no-account, saying that he'd never amount to anything. And y'all, that does damage. So if you've been run down by your parents, if you've been run down by your family, let it go. Grab hold of what the Word of God says about you. If you're struggling in an area, look it up. And begin to confess, begin to prophesize, begin to speak, begin to sing what this Word says about you. Don't go out all crazy. I'm prophesizing $1 million in my life. That's not what I'm saying. But what the Word says, that I have plans for you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. You have purpose. You have been called and you have been forgiven. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness for myself for all the times that I've not said the right words, that I've been negative, that I've been down, that I've spoken death over myself, over my family. Lord, forgive me of that. Lord, I pray that I would grab hold of this message and that we would grab hold of this message and that we would allow you to begin to work in our lives, that we would quit speaking the negative and start speaking life and find out what your Word says about each one of us individually. Find out what your Word says about our lives and the purpose that you have for us. And Lord, we begin to speak that. Just as Abraham in the physical, it seemed impossible. But Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with you. So may we begin to grab hold of your promises, grab hold of your commands, and may we begin to see a prosperity in our lives, Lord, not of material things, not of wealth, but a prosperity of spiritual things in our life, Lord, a prosperity of opportunities to serve you, a prosperity of people seeing you in our lives, a prosperity of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, and that those streams of living water would begin to flow out of us, and that deep down in our heart, there would be a wellspring of life that only you can give, God. May we guard our lips. May we guard our thoughts. And grab hold of everything that you say we are through your Word. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you're struggling this morning, if you're depressed, if you're down, if you're sad, if there's something going on deep down inside, y'all, this is the opportunity to come to these altars and to ask Jesus Christ to transform you, to ask Jesus Christ to change your life, to change the words that you speak, however the Lord leads.
Take up thy cross and follow. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today.
know, for many years I coached little league stuff and basketball, baseball, softball, and all that stuff, and really enjoyed doing it. But one of my biggest pet peeves was when a kid would say, "I can't. I can't." It just went all over me. And I would give them a big old speech, and I gave the whole team a big old speech. "I don't want to hear the words 'I can't' come out of your mouth." Drove me crazy. I think Keaton even brought it up the other day about, what did Pete always say? "Don't say I can't." Y'all, there's many of us in our walk with God, we're saying, "I just can't. I just can't." Y'all, if I said all the things that I can't, if I acted on that, I wouldn't be a preacher. The words in this Bible sometimes, and the way I'm tongue-tied, and I don't read very well, and I don't remember very well, but through God, I'm here, and I'm able. Through God, I'm able. And we can take our ordinary lives and begin to do extraordinary things when we believe what the Word of God says about us. Each and every day. And your extraordinary might be getting out of bed and holding your baby and changing diapers all day and not communicating with anybody. Your extraordinary might be going to work, and when your coworkers are being ugly and backstabbing, you don't react. Your extraordinary might be praying over someone and seeing them healed. I don't know, but through Jesus Christ, we can take our ordinary day and do something extraordinary that nobody else is doing, because we have the power of God in our life and we believe what the Word of God says. It says Peter was an unschooled, ordinary man, but he'd been with Jesus. Get with Jesus this week. Get with Jesus this week. I guess I don't know what to do from here other than I guess I'll pray over the food in the back, and I guess we can just make our way back to whoever's staying and eating and go back and eat. I'll be at the back door to say goodbye to whoever's not staying and eating. And like I said, I don't like being the center of attention, especially here, because I know it's not me, it's the Lord, and it's all of us working together. I can't do this by myself. It's all of you. So let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this church and humbled by their kindness and generosity that they continue to show to me and my family. Father, I'm thankful for the food in the back and what we're about to receive, and I ask that you'd bless it and bless each one of us as we go throughout our week. May we seek you daily with all of our heart. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.